that shit.
Well, I mean, shit, if it was on me, I definitely would be like, yo, you really want to know who's leading tackles in which side of the field? This is why I also like the comment section. Like, under Denzel Perryman, because he had an injury, it was like, he only played,
we're
like...
We're doing the scouting for the fantasy.
Exactly, yeah. And people just commented, like, yo, like, this man only played, like, 60% of the snaps, and he had 80% of all the tackles on the snaps.
Yo, you could tell those are definitely fans of that team, because, like, they have to be following the beat writers to get that report. Like,
or nerds. Maybe they're just standards.
They're us. They're really just us. Because me and Omar checking those
I'm
comments.
Sorry, but, like, I'm not going to keep track of how many snaps which – I mean, on the screen, I'll notice, like, which personnel is in. When you're at the game, it's easier to see, like, you know, like, who's in the huddle, out, yeah, who's in the locker room, who's coming back, like, you know, who's hurt.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you could definitely see when Jordan Davis is coming on the field.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that motherfucker big.
That motherfucker's like Godzilla, bro.
Godzilla, man. But, yeah, hey, welcome back to the show, man.
Yeah, but speaking about – we'll keep it on that. Speaking about them birds, how about them birds?
Y'all had a big game against a division rival in Dallas on Sunday Night Football, and I'm gonna start off by saying this: when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles, they're champs. They're clearly the champions right now. Like on God, everything you look about at this team, man, I just they're playing a different level of football compared to everyone else in the NFL. Packers took another bad L.
Yeah,
L in London. To the Giants, and then took an L in Lambeau to the Jets.
Yep.
You know, Buccaneers just took an L to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, and who else? I mean, the Saints. Everyone's talking about the Saints. I took an L at home to the Bengals.
It feels like the entire NFC is trying to figure it out while the Eagles have a formula that's been working. And it's not like the Eagles are, like, perfect by any means. I mean, they're 6-0, yes, but, you know, they're not playing.
You're
like
nitpicking the most, at this rate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, I just got to be honest, man. I got to kind of keep this on level because 6-0 is cool, but it don't mean shit until the ring. I saw Carson the Oracle on YouTube make a video about the 09 Titans who started the season off 6-0.
0-6.
Or, sorry, it wasn't the Titans. It was another team that started off 6-0.
Oh, the Broncos.
The Broncos. The Josh McDaniel led Broncos.
Yep.
You know, then they rode their way down to
They started 6-0 and then finished 8-8. Imagine that, Omar.
And the crazy part is they
had the Cardinals.
They had a week
like shit.
They had a week 7 bye like the Eagles. I'm not saying that the Eagles are gonna go fuck around and do that. The Eagles are a way much better team than that.
Also, I agree with you, bro. Like you said, Mo, we do benefit from Dallas winning the division last season with a nice schedule. We come back, we have the Texans. Are we at Houston on Thursday night?
No, we're playing the Steelers, and then we go to Houston.
Oh, you guys are playing the Steelers.
I heard is WW.
This is only week 7. We're not even halfway through the season. There's still a whole season left to be played. Now, we'll see what happens. But the Eagles have a pretty favorable schedule, you know, going to the Steelers. I know they just beat the Buccaneers, but
minimum 13 wins. Yeah, I just don't.
Yeah,
13, I mean, 14 wins. I can see the schedule.
Mike Tomlin is, he's crazy.
I told you guys, I was worried about two games. I was worried about, I mean, I think the last time we talked on the pod, we're talking about a couple teams I'm afraid of for the Eagles. Packers, just because Aaron Rodgers is there. I take that back. Packers are shit.
Yeah, they're dumb.
The Eagles would wash them, you know.
We might have to revisit.
And then another team now, this is a surprise. Well, actually two teams. Oh, no, I'll talk about this first team where the Eagles already played and they already whooped their ass, and it's their only loss is the Minnesota Vikings.
The Minnesota, yeah.
But lastly, the last team that I'll give credit where credit is due is the New York Giants that no one's talking about.
The G-Men.
Absolutely.
That loss knocks Dallas in now third place because the Giants got two great wins back-to-back. We talked London against the Packers and then the Ravens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you worried about the Giants as NFC contenders, you know?
I mean, they're up there for sure, like, right now, based on what the record indicates. But honestly, the Cowboys are more scary to me. I thought they did a pretty solid job on defense. They didn't give up really any big plays. They were making some plays at the end, but the Eagles just, you know, they're just too talented across the board. And that's a point I was trying to make earlier about the Eagles, is that they're not playing the most perfect football, but yet they're winning every game. And it seems as though, like, you know, the games that have been coming down to the wire, they're able to muster together a fourth quarter drive by just straight up pounding the ball, imposing their will on the opposing teams, and finishing out the games that way. And, you know, you called them champs earlier. Not just yet, but, you know, that's characteristic of a championship team, being able to run the ball like that when it matters the most.
I will redact my statement on the champs because that was a little hyperbole on my part. I still believe in my prophecy that Jimmy G will go into Lincoln Financial Field in divisional round and knock you guys off because that's what he seems to do. But I don't know about this 49ers team, but yeah. I'm still sticking to my guns on that one.
I think, you know, I do have to agree with you that the New York Football Giants are a pretty good team. 5-1 is a great record, and they beat some great teams in the Packers and the Ravens, especially with
like I said, I'll give them first round talent.
You know, they got this guy Kayvon Thibodeau. He gets a game winning strip sack.
It's kind of cringe. He was crying about.
Hey man, there's a lot of he's got a lot of emotion and a lot of love.
Does not matter. Do not cry. See that clip? Do not cry and record yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Not in front of the Eagles.
Do you see that clip where he was lined up in front of the left tackle and the left tackle got a false start and he started doing the salsa?
Yeah.
Fun player, bro. Fun player.
Yeah, but
emotions on the sleeve for sure.
I would say the Giants, they are not much of a bigger threat than the Vikings or the Cowboys. The Cowboys with Dak Prescott are a bigger threat.
Like absolutely.
You guys are giving respect. I like it. I like seeing them. I mean, look. Respect.
I mean, they're still, one game behind us.
You guys are right. There's still a long season to play out. But yeah. I mean, creating the class of the NFL in general, I think I'll give to the Bills. Because what they did in Arrowhead against Josh Allen was a great win for them.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh,
yeah, because there was barely any Patrick Mahomes. See, this is what happens when you get an X-factor player like Von Miller.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
This is what happens. You could finally win games like this. It wasn't the shootout that everybody expected, but, you know, they go into Arrowhead and...
still a classic, you know?
Yeah. Who scored? Stephon Diggs, I believe. I think
Diggs scored. Gabe Davis.
Dawson Knox. Oh, Dawson Knox. Yeah, the return of Dawson
Knox. We had a juju.
Oh, yeah, we had a juju game, finally. Yeah,
we had a juju game.
Out of the doghouse you come and onto the field.
Yeah, starting spot of mine.
It's crazy. The Bills are built just like the Eagles. Phenomenal defense, especially a really good secondary.
Yeah, they're a little bit injured on the secondary, but they still got talent.
To me, the secondary of the Bills won that game. They picked up Mahomes at the very end.
It's the pass rush they got there.
Like seriously,
but they did get there.
And secondary work hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly. Complimentary.
Tre'Davious White as well, I believe. Yeah. I think they're doing this without Tre'Davious White. And then that's their best cover corner.
Didn't they lose what's his name to? Michael Hyde.
They're a cornerback factory. I'll tell you in Buffalo. They're a cornerback factory.
They're a defensive factory. I mean, they just have depth all across the defense. I mean, I remember watching them in the preseason. They blow people out in the preseason. That means they're set. are those guys?
They're like, we don't take our foot off the gas.
Omar. I mean, they took it personally.
They absolutely
took it personally.
They didn't let Josh Allen go back on the field in overtime. Patrick Mahomes takes the game away from him. 13 seconds was too much time left for the Chiefs. Became personal for Josh Allen.
And now, like, Gabe Davis is going to, like, be the he's the miracle. Like, they pissed Gabe Davis off, too. Everything he catches is a touchdown.
Every time he had the Randy Moss stat line 2 weeks ago. The one-handed grab from out of the air against Minka Fitzpatrick, a great safety.
First catch of the game was 98 yards and a touchdown.
That's right. Yeah, and Monet over here had both him and Josh Allen against me on fantasy, and I was just like, oh, my day's over. I'm just going to enjoy football like a normal person.
Double Devontae Adams too, similar stat line.
Yeah,
double hummus.
Who got press charges because the guy's a greedy asshole.
I mean, I'm sorry, I'll press charges too. It's just like control yourself, bro.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, if you're there, like, why would you walk in the way of a player if they're going into the locker room? But at the same time, Devontae Adams shouldn't have done that.
I mean, look.
He did get cut off by Hunter Renfrow because Hunter Renfrow didn't know the route.
When you're rich,
I'd be pissed too.
When you're rich, you got to follow different rules.
You do got to follow different rules, right?
Like, you and I, you know what I'm saying? Like, we could push somebody off the court, you know, when we get skunked. Like, it might start a fist fight. It might not. you know, charges might get pressed. But ain't no $1 million class action lawsuit going to happen.
Absolutely not.
But like, motherfucker trying to get the bag. I don't.
Yeah, but oh, my bad. I didn't mean to leave. Like, go on a tangent about Devontae Adams on that shit. But back to the Bills and Chiefs. The Chiefs looking good on the offensive side, but the defensive side now they're giving up a touchdown at least 1.5 every week to opposing quarterbacks. What's this mean for them? They got to outscore every team like they normally do.
What, like as in rushing touchdowns?
No, as in like they're getting torched.
Oh.
In the air.
Well, I mean, don't matter if you get dubs.
They didn't get the dub.
They got the dub and made the play that happened, you know?
They didn't get the dub this week, though.
Oh, you're talking about the Bills or the Chiefs?
I'm talking about the Chiefs. Bills got a good defense. They're good. They're injured and they're still good.
Chiefs do, too, you know?
It's just like two high-powered offenses going up against each other.
Yeah.
They shut each other down. Like, let's be real. Like, the final score is 24-20, you know? It wasn't.
Yeah, it was more of a defensive.
I wonder defensive what the spread was. 50.
It's definitely over like 50 something.
You got me. It was like college football game over here.
Over 55 or something like that, probably. I don't know. But still, like, you got to think about it.
They're both 5-2 now, right? Or no, 5. Wait. Bills are 5-1. And Chiefs are 4-2. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Correct. They'll be good.
They
will be, but I mean, this is huge for the Bills. You know, they
get the revenge
for the Bills because, you know, we already talked about it. They are a team that definitely are taking it personally this season, and especially they're taking it personally after the loss down in Miami, where they felt like they should have won. So this could be a really dangerous team down the stretch. It's funny because one of the easier divisions we thought heading into the season with the AFC East, but now like we got the Jets sitting at 4-2, I believe.
They're one game behind the Bills.
One game behind the Bills in the AFC East. We have the Patriots with a backup quarterback, very competitive. I think they're 3-3 now, and they demolished the Browns.
Yeah.
They with a rookie quarterback and a lot of players out.
The Dolphins are struggling without Tua right now.
Dolphins are struggling. 0-3 since the Tua injury.
They get him back, I think, this week. Week 7.
I think so.
By the way, that game makes Bill Belichick the second most winningest game.
Or third or something like that. I don't know. He passes. Won a lot of games.
I don't know. They kept talking about it all over the fucking NFL. I don't know what that has to do. I mean, that's good for him.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Bill. This ball's for you.
Nah, do you see the special teams player recover a muff punt, and he tried to give it to Bill Belichick?
Yeah, he's like, congratulations, boss man. You earned it.
I did that at training camp when I was at Bridgewater.
Like, this is for you, coach.
I mean, I took him literally because he said, I want defense, I want that ball, and I made a pick, and I gave it right to the coach.
So there you go.
I was like, here, you wanted the ball.
You wanted the ball, G, it's all you. Exactly.
Thank you.
I don't know. I think now looking at hindsight, there probably people are just like, why the fuck did you do that?
I'm not going to go home with it. Bill Belichick was probably like, thank you.
You got a turnover. Like,
dude, what are you
doing? Give that to the referee.
Act like you've been here before.
Yeah, give that to the referee.
Nah, I hate that act like you've been here before. It's like, yo, I've been here before and I did the same shit. I was on that bullshit.
That's just funny he gave it to Bill Belichick. Like, I ain't never seen a player do that ever.
Oh, man.
You know, he this dude thinks he's Randy Moss or something.
They didn't even,
Can I start on defense now, coach?
No, get back on special teams. No, it's funny because I was going to say, I don't think Cleveland has been. They've lost 3 in a row, right?
Cleveland, I'm not sure. I think they have.
They lost to the Chargers.
You
know what's crazy?
And the Falcons.
That's 3 in a row.
So and right now, the AFC North is like
up for grabs. I don't
even know who it's up for grabs. Yeah, who's gonna win that division? Like everyone's 3-3, I think.
Mitch Trubisky just beat.
Who's the worst team in that division right now?
Worst team in that division has to be the Steelers.
I'd say the Browns, honestly.
The Browns. Steelers are on an upward trend.
I think Browns have 2 wins, I believe.
Yeah, Steelers are two wins as well.
Browns have like 3 home losses already. They haven't won a home game.
Yeah, they could be. I think the Browns are
2-4. Yeah, and then the Bengals have, they fought their 2 way losses, back against. Yeah.
Or the Bengals have 3 losses. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're 3-3.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And the Ravens, of course.
But the Bengals are on an upward trend, just like the Steelers.
Well, yeah.
Ravens kind of downward trend.
We talked about it last time, man. I think the Ravens are a very iffy team. They're a really iffy team. I think, like, it's just run its course there in Baltimore. I mean, no one's really talking about it. But, I mean, I see the freaking Ravens fans on social media. Like, they know what's going on, bro.
They're not even happy about signing DeSean Jackson today.
Why would you be? Why would you be happy about signing DeSean Jackson?
You don't believe in your guys? I think Devin Duvernay is great.
I mean,
I don't think it's the decision making. It's like the execution.
Well, obviously when your only weapon is a tight end, and well, all credit due to, I mean, no disrespect, no shade towards that Mark Andrews. He's freaking amazing.
Oh yeah.
But like, you're not threatening nobody. You know, like you're not scaring nobody. And
because basically, figure it out. Just run past the tight end.
The thing is, like Lamar, you know, he's playing still kind of playing hero ball out there, and they're like. That interception to Julian Love is just a terrible decision. You know, throw the ball away, live to fight another day. The Giants have been barely moving the ball on your defense.
See, like, a player like Jalen Hurts wouldn't make that throw.
Well, yeah, no, that's why I give Jalen Hurts credit over, like, I mean, Lamar's trying to be an athlete and, like, make the play and be spectacular. Jalen Hurts is only just trying to make the right play.
Yeah.
You know? So... that's really upsetting. And then on top of that, to add insult to injury, he fumbles the next possession because he's carrying the ball like a loaf of bread, you know? And it's the game every year. You look at the, I'm telling you again, look at these athletes that are coming out, you know? You get Lamar Jackson on the offensive side, you're going to get guys like Kayvon Thibodeau, Chase Young, Micah Parsons. On the defensive side, they're just as gifted and athletic as this man, Lamar. Yeah. So, you know, game will catch up to you, Lamar. So you're gonna have to really adapt your game, or just be more like Jalen Hurts. You know,
you feel general.
Like it's becoming a theme, like the last few seasons, where Lamar Jackson's turnovers have led to the Ravens losing, dating back to Week 1 in 2021, where he fumbled against the Raiders in overtime instead of the game touchdown.
And like I guess. This is why I think it's going to, like, something's got to happen because, obviously, he's in contract negotiations right now with the Ravens, and this is a big year for the Ravens, for Harbaugh, for Lamar, for that entire program. You know, if they don't win a division here, maybe make a deep playoff run, they could blow up the regime right there, you know? So
I mean, hey, the organization needs to just think about it like this. If it comes down to Harbaugh and Lamar,
Harbaugh, it's gotta be coaching.
Just so you know, Harbaugh is not doing what Lamar does on the field.
Exactly, and on top of that, Omar. I mean, sorry to cut you off, but like, all three of their losses, comeback victories.
Yeah,
comeback victories in the fourth quarter. All three of that's on coaching. Lamar can't do anything about that.
He can't do shit about that. I don't even know who their defensive coordinator is. They gotta probably just start changing shit from the top down, or from the bottom. From the top down.
When you have like, you know, Marcus Peters going after Jim Harbaugh, trying to fight him mid game. I mean, that goes to show you they're just frustrated with the decision-making, the cost.
Yeah.
You know,
they're losing their players. They're losing their players, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, the Broncos defense should have a confrontation with Nathaniel Hackett the same way that Marcus Peters stood up to.
I could see Melvin Gordon punching him in the face, yes.
Yeah.
I could see Melvin Gordon kind of losing it. And it might be It might be Judy.
Yeah, no, Jerry Judy would definitely punch Russell Wilson in the square in his fucking face. Ryan is a danger witch.
I mean, like, that's another division you brought up. Like, that AFC West is not looking as...
It's not looking good. It's just looking like the Chiefs.
It's still looking like the Chiefs. Chargers could be a very dominant team, but the injuries, and now, like, I'm...
Injuries struggling. And coaching, bro.
Coaching, yes, and coaching, you know.
The Monday night game, dude. Like, in the first half, they're in fourth and two on their own side. I think it was in the first quarter, like, their opening drive. They go for it. They get it. And just before, I think, halftime... They could have went for a 4th-2 in the red zone. They're like, no, fuck it. We'll tie the game. Or they'll go. I'll make it a 10-3 game.
I'm not going to fault coaches on that. You know, I'm not like, well, you start going for a 4th-2. Like,
based on momentum.
Yeah.
I mean, it's based on momentum, but like, this is Brandon Staley. Like, you go for it at the wrong time, in my opinion.
I mean, I agree. Yeah.
You go for it at the wrong time.
That's an argument for another day.
Because you see Sirianni and Doug Peterson go for it at the right time. And it's not even about, I mean, it is about momentum. You're right. But also, it's like, you can get this.
Yeah, it's
2 yards.
I think it's like it's 2 yards. Like, I believe in your team. Like, my offensive line is going to blow off the ball. Like,
no, but also credit
to
the.
They're not built to get 2 yards at a time. Like, you know, bro, they're running.
They have a running back.
I mean, they have a pretty solid running
back. They have a fantasy football running back.
Yeah. You know? Okay, well. Maybe I'm giving you. I think Austin Eckler is a great running back.
I think he's
outside of fantasy football, too.
I think he's amazing. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. 2 yards, like, come on, anybody can.
But they don't want to use him like that.
Nah.
They don't want to use him like that.
It's coaching.
It's a long season. And it's, you know, we're still getting used to, speaking of, like, always talking about it's a long season, we're starting to get used to guys. Well, we're still not used to that 17-game NFL season, that extra added game, that extra added playoff spot. That kind of, you know, coaches are still, like, kind of playing that in the back of their head, you know? Because, you know, everything, there's kind of two football seasons. There's first half and then the second half. No one remembers the first half. Like, you mentioned the 2009 Broncos team, you know. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. So going down the stretch, like, there's a lot of teams that can separate. We already talked about the Eagles.
No one's going to remember.
And it's going to just be, no one's going
to
remember.
I was going to say, no one's going to remember how the Jaguars lost to the Texans in week 5.
What if the Jaguars, who were taking a bit of a slide, start picking it up down the stretch, you know? Indy, for example, is also looking stronger now down the stretch than they did earlier.
Without Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, without Jonathan Taylor.
And key players on the defense.
But it's going to be interesting because I think coaches right now are still kind of preparing or, like, managing their team based on this new information that they have the 17-game season, that seventh playoff spot. You know, some players who might tough out injuries, and like the new IR addition, like this really is all also about coaching management more so than the play on the field. And that's something a lot of people have been talking about when we say play on the field, is that we've been seeing poor quality of football. Would you guys say it's more like poor quality of football or like poor management coaching?
I just feel like there's been like
I've seen a lot like between all the football we watch, there's been like some really bad on both parts. And
yeah, no, absolutely, it's a mixture of everything. But I think for the most part that, you know, there's a lot of new faces on new teams, new coaching staff. Yeah. So it's just people, you know, trying to get acclimated. And also the NFL coaching experience nowadays is like, you know, relatively young. There's a lot of young coaches out there, and like absolute new systems, with
complex systems,
complicated, you know, schemes, all this stuff. I mean, the NFL is just evolving, and I just think we're seeing growing pains of that.
And like to add to your point, and like to some of the new changes we're seeing, is like the longer season, but shortened preseason. You know. So that's also another thing to take into account, like in how teams are managing
that. It feels like even though we have the season got extended by one game, it feels like it's going a lot faster.
Yeah.
Than it has in the past. It's very fast-paced, fast-moving season. Not a lot of rest in between, you know, games. Like, we'll see a team, you know, play in London, you know,
now we have Sunday, one in Germany,
and then come back, you know. You know, usually you get a bye week in the past, but now you just have to come back and play a game immediately.
I think, to your credit, it does feel like it's going faster. But we're also going off of what you said earlier with that model where it's like it's bad football. Yeah, because like if we use the Denver Broncos, per se, an example.
Yeah.
Like, Russell Wilson still hasn't, you know, developed that connection yet with his people. And it's a new coach.
Correct, yeah.
And, I mean, would
you... So is that more of an indictment? This, like,
that's bad football. Because
it's just bad football.
Yeah, because you had an offseason.
That's on the player.
That's on Russell Wilson. Like, okay. You had the offseason.
I like it. Because I was going to say, like, is this more of an indictment on the coach, Nathaniel Hackett, as on how poorly the Denver Broncos have been playing? Or is it more on Russell Wilson? You know,
I feel like it's more on the players.
Even though you threw a bag at Russell Wilson. You threw a bag. He's definitely
You definitely got... Yeah, you got... So, we gave you $250 million. You got to step up. Straight up. And
he's not doing it. He's not crooked, right?
No. I mean, well, they're also saying he's injured and shit, but like at the same time, like, it's not about that. It's like, you can't I mean, I would like to just pin everything on the coach, but at the same time, Fanhack's first year coach. I said the same shit about Sirianni last year. I was like, you gotta give him 1 year to see what happens, because you have a small sample size of games right now. And you can't judge a whole season based off of just six games.
Yeah.
And look at Sirianni, how he did an overturn. Maybe the Denver Broncos was doing overturn, but right now, it's more or less on bad players. And I'm not saying it's on all the players. I'm saying it's more mainly less on Russell Wilson.
No, you can blame Russell Wilson.
I'm blaming it on Russell Wilson.
That's fine.
Dangerous. KJ Hamler's balling out. Every one of them else is balling out. Melvin Gordon can potentially ball out if you let him on the field.
It's just funny because Melvin Gordon is now the scapegoat of this.
It's not his fault. Like, he fumbled, bro. Like, so what? But like,
all his tweets are definitely directed at Russell Wilson. It's like, this nigga is costing us games. And y'all niggas want to blame me?
It's a run. Pass.
Look.
I'm dead.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos, most of those struggles you could blame on Russell Wilson.
You have to.
It's like he lost his confidence. I mean, there's no way around it. It's just
I think he's just hurt. I think he's hurt. And correct. He lost his confidence.
It's a combination of things. He's hurt, a lot of pressure. I really think that loss to the Seattle Seahawks at home, you know, getting booed by Seahawks crap fans.
Yeah, week one.
That really affected his psyche. So, you know.
Oh, you got 11 more weeks of this shit.
I mean, hopefully, like, everything's going good at home. Like, we see how, like, you know, celebrities in the spotlight, or NFL celebrities in the spotlight, you know, high-profile couples.
Are you talking about Tom Brady?
Yeah, Tom Brady. I don't know, man. Yeah. Hopefully him and Russell and Sierra are okay.
Brady's not okay.
Doesn't love his wife. Brady loves football. I think the opposite is happening with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson loves
his wife. And he hates football.
He doesn't like football.
Remember, football was the last thing he pointed to on that little video where he's like, things I value. Subway sandwiches. God. My wife.
football.
You know, I'm just saying, like,
he did get drafted to play in the MLB.
He did.
So did Kyler.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Kyler also plays Call of Duty.
These quarterbacks we just mentioned that got drafted by the MLB. You know, there's
double
been questions
XP
about their passions for the game.
Well, I mean, Yeah, you know what? I really like this take. Like, I don't think Russell Wilson loves football. I think he loves the idea of football.
He loves
football, Brian.
How many alter egos has he had?
It helps become unlimited.
How many? Yeah, Mr. Unlimited. Like, how many alter egos has man had since he's played?
That was probably his first unlimited idea, was playing football.
It's like, if I could play football, I could just become unlimited. He watched the movie Limitless.
When I first saw
Russell
Wilson, I thought he was Hawaiian.
I hated that man.
I thought he could pass for Dominican, Indian,
Cuban.
Brazilian, Cuban,
Puerto Rican. All of them, man.
Yo, Russell, you might have.
You could also pass for.
You could definitely act. You could be an actor.
You could pass for Nathan Peterman.
Yeah. At this rate, like, you know, if he has to. This is probably a really bad look for the Broncos. This is kind of still a long term investment. I know we all want the changes to come right now for them, but. You know, look at it long term, I guess, because you have this man for 7 more years. So I guess that's the optimistic viewpoint that, you know, it could work next year. You know, you're looking at, I mean, that whole entire AFC West. Chiefs, man, like the Chiefs, Raiders definitely aren't looking that great. They're 2-4, I believe, as well.
Hey, man, what we used to say last season, the Raiders is the Raiders.
Yeah.
They're gonna just find a way to fuck everything up.
Yeah, I know, and it's their coach again, Josh McDaniels. You know,
first year head coach. You
but
know.
We'll see. The Raiders usually finish off. They can finish off strong and stuff like that. So.
They can go 7-10.
Oh damn! Okay, I like
at this rate. They're
you know, at this rate, no, the Broncos are going 7-10. Fuck that.
Giants are gonna finish way better than both these teams. I'm gonna tell you that right
actually,
now.
Actually, let's go back to
the NFC, the best division in football.
Yeah, NFC Beast is back.
Yeah,
unlike the Commanders, but who knows? We beat the Packers, go 3-4. We're back in the driver's seat.
You guys think
it's a beatable game for you guys? Heineke.
Yeah.
It is a Heineke redemption game. I'm excited.
Carson Wentz fractured his hand.
He broke his hand.
He
broke his finger, giving the defensive line.
Oh, that's
finger.
What I texted you guys. Yo, I think Carson Wentz hurt his jerk off hand.
He was definitely waving that hand at the defensive lineman's helmet.
Well, he broke the ring finger.
And he kept waggling it around to make it even better. I gotta get blood in there.
Can't go shooting no more.
He's gonna be.
I don't know. We'll see how long he's out of commission for, because the Bears need to be hunted.
Oh damn, they do. So I think it's the same time frame as homeboy Dak Prescott. Yeah, he's got the same injury.
I think so. Yeah, I do believe so. He did get surgery on it, and we'll see how he goes. But like, that's kind of insane, man.
He got surgery right away.
Yeah. He got surgery.
Okay, right away. They're not playing. Yeah, y'all did play on Thursday.
So Taylor Heineke is there. Is it going to be the quarterback now? And
what happens if he beats the Packers?
I think Taylor Heineke has a lot to prove. You know, I think Taylor Heineke can really market himself right here.
You remember how many
possible? We'll see how he does. If he kind of moves forward and kind of like gets us a couple wins here, he will definitely be sought after from other NFL teams. I really think so.
So he does have the greatest scramble in Washington playoff history.
He does.
Was Terry McLaurin a 1,000-yard receiver with him last season when
he
started?
Yes, he was. Yes,
this is your guy.
So yeah, this could be good for him, and good for Terry's production.
He's been taking notes.
This injury robs us of Carson's 2 revenge games against Philly and against Indianapolis.
Oh, he might be back by Philly.
I don't know. Well, we'll see. Like I said, we'll see. He's gonna do some drills tomorrow. See if like he can play through the injury. But you know, I'll give Carson credit. That's a tough son of a gun, bro. That's a tough motherfucker. Bro.
He got beat the fuck up, and he got back up.
He always gets back up.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity to put in Sam Howell at some point.
I mean, if the game is going so well, like if y'all Jets the Packers, like how the Jets beat the Packers, I think Sam Howell comes in and runs in for the touchdown.
I think clearly, if like coaches have saw Sam Howell all along through camp and stuff like that, and I mean, he's inactive on game days, so it's not like he's dressing. You can't just throw him into the fire like that, honestly.
Why not?
It could stunt his growth. Literally.
Don't smoke it. You'll growth.
See what happened to Nathan Peterman.
That's doesn't hilarious. He go up against like the number one defense and number twos?
Well, yeah, I mean sometimes, but not all the time. Like you know, and they're
in
mean,
practice.
It's in practice.
I don't
it's
know.
They're going vanilla.
You can't practice. Hit. You can't hit the quarterback in practice.
Yeah, you can't even hit the quarterback. You know, but
shit, we'll fuck our.
They make that we'll, a fuck, point in whoa. Madden. You can't hit the quarterback.
Nah, we'll hit our second and third stringers.
Yeah, I mean, we're not hitting Gardner Minshew, I'll tell you
but
that.
But yeah, no, I mean, I'm excited to see what Heinicke has. I would have loved to see how. I would love for us to tank, but there's really a lot of uncertainty regarding my team. And like,
because if y'all win, how many games can y'all think you can win
well, in consecutively? I still think we have the talent. We certainly have the talent to win at least 10 games.
Got you. Give me 1 second. Pull up your schedule right now.
I think we certainly have the talent. But Omar, when it comes to coaching, I don't see it.
I know you brought up Gardner Minshew.
I see 5 wins max or 6 wins.
Dang. But Omar, you brought up Gardner Minshew, and I wanted to bring up this point. Like, remember last year, Gardner Minshew asked Sirianni, like, what's the likelihood of him ever starting? And Nick said, never.
Never.
Didn't he start against the Jets? Didn't Minshew start against the Jets?
Yeah, he did.
Because Jalen Hurts was out.
Yeah, he had COVID or something like that.
No, no, he hurt his ankle against the Giants.
Yeah. He ran all over the Giants.
Yeah, he didn't play for like a month because it was our bye week. And then
he played the Jets and the Giants. Yeah. And I have film on him when we went to go see them play the Commanders on the sideline throwing the ball to A.J. Brown. That's QB2.
Yeah.
Anyways.
No, he only played against the Jets, but that was just funny. I just want to bring that up. It's like, it's like there is no way Gardner Minshew does what Jalen Hurts is doing this year.
Gardner Minshew is like an ecstatic game manager. He's like drunk Kirk Cousins.
I think he's a solid backup.
No, he's a fantastic backup. I like him on our team. Yeah. If we didn't get anyone else, get Nick Foles to be the backup. But you guys get the Commanders, get the Packers.
The Packers and
potential.
The Vikings.
If y'all get that W, I think you spark a streak. You go on to the Colts, get a W there. Vikings.
Vikings is that might be a L. Kirk Cousins revenge game. I don't want like and Justin Jefferson's there.
That's the game that y'all don't want to lose because then you got to come back to Philly and then you go to Texans.
Well, the Philly one, I think if it's Heinicke, I think it will be a very interesting game. I still think like I mean we'll see how you guys are by that rate, but I mean what is that 4 weeks from now?
I wouldn't be
surprised if you guys lose a game, or I mean I know I said at the top you guys are champs, but I wouldn't be surprised if you guys like fall a game or two, I don't know, but. The Philly game should be an interesting one now that if it's Heinicke.
You guys end the schedule very funny.
Yeah, I know it's tough.
Giants and then Giants again. Falcons, Giants, then at the 49ers. Then at home for the Browns, and then at home for the Cowboys.
That last three stretch of games was going to be a killer, but now it's even more of a killer.
Because Falcons are good.
Now the Falcons are actually good. I was just thinking the last three. Well, I mean, now that shit looks actually terrible. The last six games, you got Falcons.
That'll be a W.
You got the Giants, the Browns game. I don't know because Deshaun's back.
Deshaun's not going to be playing for anything.
Are the Falcons 4-2 or 3-3?
Doesn't matter. You're going to be playing, huh?
Falcons are 3-3, right?
I believe so, yeah. I think they are 3-3.
If Deshaun's playing for...
I think they're 4-2, to be honest.
If he's playing for anything, he's playing for a wild card spot.
Might be the best team in the NFC South right now. I mean, obviously, I think you got to go with Brady and the Bucks.
They lost two back. Actually, no, they just beat the Falcons, and then they lost to the Steelers. Steelers is a bad loss.
That's a really bad loss. That's why Brady was very angry.
He was yelling at his man.
Animated on the sideline for a good reason.
I left my wife to lose to Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, so like that. I mean, I don't know. Between the Falcons, Saints, and Buccaneers, I mean, that division, as of right now, things stand.
We shouldn't even talk about the Saints. Like, why are we talking about the Saints?
Saints got torched by the Bengals. Are they at home for the Cardinals? We get DeAndre Hopkins back.
Well, we can
with no Marshawn Lattimore.
We can make an argument that the NFC South is the worst division in football.
As of right now.
Or no, that's AFC.
No, it's AFC.
NFC South. The Panthers are the first team to officially give up on the season.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They super gave up. Roby Anderson.
Roby Anderson fighting coaches on the sideline. Yeah. He gets traded the very next day.
He yells, trade me at the coach.
Matt Rule's gone immediately.
Feel like it looks like that team's going.
CMC trade rumors are going around. They're taking for Sean Payton. They're cleaning shop and burning the exact. You know, there's bro, all
put in Sam Darnold. Yeah, what are we waiting for?
I actually don't know. Does he still have mono?
No, I don't know what's wrong with him. I really don't know what's wrong. He could be hurt, but I don't know what's wrong with him.
I do recall Mayo Clinic saying mononucleosis, like, or whatever, that like team, a 3-year thing.
That team is so sad ever since they moved on from Cam Newton, you know. They have a first overall pick and a third overall pick on their team. And they're playing neither.
You know, they actually do have a pretty solid defense too.
They do have a great defense.
That's the better part of their team outside of McCaffrey and DJ Moore.
Well, they have great corners. They have a good secondary, and they have amazing linebacker play.
I feel like McCaffrey will either go to the Bills, because there's a lot of talk about Odell coming back. If Odell doesn't go to the Giants, I think Odell goes to the Bills.
I mean, it could be the Rams. You know, Cam Akers on trade talks. Now we're looking at Cam Akers on trade talks. That's an easy trade.
Feel like Sean McVay and Daryl Henderson have a great rapport with each other.
Okay, so
do you need another running back in that situation?
Do you know
you have Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, do you know the best receiver is white and their second best receiver is white?
Exactly.
Yeah, then now they need a white running back.
Oh. Oh my god, damn. Yeah, you just blew my mind, dude. The Holy Trinity.
Yeah, come on now. CMC is the one player every white coach loves. Like, seriously.
It's him.
Oh, you know who
it's him and the white linebacker.
Bro, honestly, who might that castle. Pull a like a fast one and try to get CMC.
Who?
Like a low key team. You already know.
Let's take a guess. No.
The Hood.
No way.
Hooded Belichick, yes.
What are they gonna
loved
do?
Loved him some Danny Woodhead.
He did, yeah, he did. He does love his white offensive players and defensive players.
And they got the assets. Trade one of them running backs, give him a pick.
Give him Ramondre Stevenson or Damien Harris. Ramondre
Stevenson, yeah. Damien Harris wanted them, bro.
Ramondre Stevenson looking like LeGarrette Blount 2.0. Like, I'm telling you, this is actually have capital.
See, and like...
What about the Chiefs?
I can see the Chiefs, you know?
Yeah, the Chiefs just cleared $3 million in cap space.
Well, he's going to need a lot more than
he's
that.
He's going to need a lot more than that, Skip. I know running backs are underpaid. Might
be a three-way trade or something coming along.
Well, I don't know.
Here's $3 million in the first round
pick. I just think I don't see McCaffrey leaving for like, if I would throw the bag and I throw the ball. The one team that makes the most sense is definitely it's got to be the Rams to me. Like,
yeah.
The Rams are the
Super Bowl winners. You know. They're the champions. They got to still prove that they're still a team that needs to be taken off the block, which they have been taken off the block.
He'll get to go back to California.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's from Stanford. You're right. Actually, you know what? That does make a lot of sense. The Rams is a great picture, too, but at the same time, I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl. You really want to ruin a ring?
Well, no, I mean, yeah. I don't think, you got
to force your way to Buffalo.
That's true.
Or maybe Bills, Bills could grab him. It's gonna be a good.
Bills could grab him. Like, yeah, that's what we're saying. But I mean, I just don't. I feel like with the Bills, you can get a lot out of them, and maybe like I don't know what the compensation would look like because they don't have that good of running backs, in my opinion. The Bills don't. Their best running back is Josh Allen. You know. Unless you're wearing...
I think he's already had 2 hurdles on the season, and no one else... Yeah. No one else on the whole back.
He's that good. He hurdles.
Yeah, he hurdles people, bro. He's tall as fuck. I honestly never seen anybody jump that high over another tall man. You hurdle who?
He does it twice out of some corner. I don't know.
Okay,
it's still kind of regular for a quarterback, man.
But he's built like a linebacker.
It is kind of crazy. Like, it
doesn't matter. I mean, those sits kind of bad out. Like, injuries. Cam Newton eventually got hurt.
Yeah.
After 10 years...
I mean, well,
yeah.
I hope he doesn't. I hope he keeps going.
Look, man, I expect my quarterback to play till he's like 45.
Okay, that's fine.
And then vote for him for president after 45.
Yo, that's great. I bet you Tom Brady's gonna run for president in a lifetime. I will fucking vote for him.
I'd vote for him too.
Nah, I will vote for him.
Nah, he after football, he's just gonna stick to family.
It's not even a party. It's just the TB12
party.
TB12 party. He'll win 7 elections.
Yeah, have you wanted to go away from the Democrats and the Republicans?
Join the TB12.
Join the party of pliability.
The pliable party.
Bro, the pliable party. Oh, bro, my God.
I will knock on people's door from Tom Brady.
I will go canvassing for you, G.
I will literally be like, yo, are you...
This is why he doesn't need his wife's loving. He's
you just go around having people with his book. Loving. The TB12 book.
Have you heard of our Lord and Savior, Tom Brady?
Here's a sample pack of his vitamins.
Edward Brady. Thomas Edward Brady.
Nah, man, but... Speaking of shitty divisions, I mean, like, I want to talk about the AFC South really quickly because
Titans all the way.
Can we just eliminate that division?
Titans.
No, bro. We were that division.
Last year.
No. Oh, two years ago, 2020.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, we had a division winner at 7-9. That's pathetic.
I'm sorry. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, we did. And they almost beat the Bucs.
I want to say the Colts. I mean, the Jaguars are good. But they just lost to the Colts. I just can't. The Colts are a different team at home, by the way.
Well, yeah, I still think they're just not good.
They finally unlocked Alec Pierce. That's what it is.
Chico. I think the Jaguars are still a very raw, young team that Doug Peterson inherited, and they.
So
once they learn to finish off games, because they had a huge lead in this game. I think they're just still a young, raw team. That's it with the Jags and the Colts. I mean, led by a veteran quarterback, and then also, you know.
Yeah, does he own the Jaguars, Matt Ryan?
No. They already played. Remember, this is actually the first division series that's over.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they played week two. Jaguars
Won
that. Yeah, they did get a shutout. That's right. That's crazy. Yeah, they readjusted. That's how quickly they readjust.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because I think after the Jaguars played the Eagles, Trevor Lawrence realized he has a turnover problem, and it wasn't just him. I love Etienne, great player, but he's got turnover problems, too. He fumbles the ball every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, and he's just getting started, getting acclimated to the NFL game, but
yeah,
not for long, bro, if you keep fumbling the ball. That's why Antonio Gibson's in the doghouse.
Shit. Brian Robinson was back. I mean, well, actually, he had his first start against the Bears. Gets a touchdown. Shout out to him. But I want to go back to the AFC South, too. Like, Titans are coming back, and now they're playing the Colts next. Derrick Henry off a bye. You know what Derrick Henry does to the Colts. You know what he does.
They're already playing again?
This isn't their second time playing again?
Well, yeah, the Titans and the Colts already played.
This is Titans and the Colts played when? They didn't play yet. This is going to be the first series.
No, Titans and Colts already played.
Did they play?
When? Yeah, they played, like, the last week. Derrick Henry scored.
No, they played Commanders.
Week five, they played.
No, week five, they played Commanders. Is that Derrick
Henry? No, week six, they played. Well, no.
No, they had
week four.
What?
Week four, they played each other. Well, anyways, Derrick Henry scored his first touchdown, I think.
They get them back. Damn, they're getting all the series out the way real quick.
That's very interesting.
That is interesting, too, like, because no one's paying attention to that division.
Did you guys peep today? They had the NFL owners meetings.
Oh, yes.
And there's some owner beef spewing.
Speaking of the Colts. The Jim Irsay, he's got something for your boy.
Dan Snyder.
I find it so funny that
it's kind of satirical that he said they have merits to remove Dan Snyder and then went on to call the team the Redskins instead of the Commanders.
So the team formerly known as the Redskins.
So
has,
I just think that's kind of funny that he didn't even say the actual team name.
I heard him too. He's like, I'm gonna save my final opinion, but there is merit to remove this man, is what he said, from what I recall.
As owner of the Redskins.
Of the Redskins. So like the team that is no longer called the Redskins, a former entity. So remove the former owner who no longer exists because the Commanders exist now, which is nothing, basically. It's vague language.
And that's what I'm saying. I just think I thought that was kind of funny. And Jerry Jones came to Dan Snyder's back and said, this seems to be more of a media issue than an ownership issue.
Well, which one is it? Does Congress want him out? Does the NFL want him out? Do the owners want him out?
So Dan thinks it's a smear job, bro. It kind of is looking like it because he's vehemently denying everything. Like vehemently denying everything. And it's kind of funny because I don't know what's going on because if everyone's like on him except for the NFL, this really does seem like a media thing.
Didn't they say he's like a mobster?
Like, he said the owners. He called the rest of the owners mafia members.
Oh, the Tony Soprano.
Yeah. And they're all like trying to force him out. And you can't really take it. You got to take everything Jim Irsay said with a grain of salt. Number one, like again, he called the team name. He called them the Redskins. Yeah, he was being racist.
Yeah, straight up. That's a slur. They had to remove the name. So, yeah.
I mean, like I think we talked about earlier, like definitely like billionaires and millionaires.
Jim Mercer is differently. This is the guy who takes the air off the ball every game. He'll retract the fucking dome and put it back up whenever he wants to.
I found it funny. Jerry Jones kind of backed him up. They asked Robert Kraft about it, and they asked Robert Kraft, is like, somebody says, do the other owners not like Daniel Snyder? And he was like, I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
I'm not the other owners. I'm Robert Kraft.
Yeah, I'm Robert Kraft.
What a great answer.
Yeah, no, seriously.
That's such a fantastic
answer. That was a do your job better. Young reporter.
Yeah. Jedi mind tricks. It's like me and Bill Belichick.
Thought he was going to get an answer.
Me and Bill Belichick have the same mind.
But so, I mean, I just found a lot of that interesting because we might have ownership beef happening in the NFL for the very first time, if I can imagine. Actually, no, we beefed. Danny Boy was beefing with the Maras of the Giants back in the day too.
Oh damn!
They snitched on us, I think.
Oh damn! He should just for real keep it real. Meet me outside.
I mean that's okay. So that's what the ESPN article is saying. That's the ESPN article is saying. It was like he has dirt on all these owners and the NFL. And then he came out and said, "I don't like that. That was all a lie. Like you should read the statement he sent out to all the owners." So, like, it's kind of like,
please don't kick me out, guys.
It really kind of reads like that. I'm not going to lie. He's saying, like, I vehemently deny all this. Like, I would never say that about you guys and stuff like that. Like, he's getting kind of defensive here. Like, a little too defensive. You know, so it's interesting. It's just really interesting.
I mean,
you should check the team's website. Or they're like they released a statement. I'm gonna try to show it to you. It's kind of funny. It's just here. I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, and this whole Dan Snyder thing is crazy, bro. Just sell the team. They don't want you there. I mean, the organization has to be losing money at this point.
So
they're making the money. So like, why don't you just sell the team?
Yeah, I was gonna say like it because they've been trying to get him to sell the team for a while now.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not just like, you know, recently. It's just like the last 5 years like, type shit.
It's just bad business to not sell the team. The thing is,
I mean, there's some like really interesting theories I have about it, or like I was actually listening on the radio about. But here, I found the letter. So this is what he sent to the owners, right? So. Dear owners, whatever, I hope that you and your family are doing well. I would like to address a recent ESPN article that contains false and malicious statements about the Washington Commanders, their management team, and me and my family. It is particularly shameful for ESPN to diminish the very real accomplishments. Have you guys read the article, by the way, or like about it?
I'm like skimming this one right here.
It's long, so I've
it's pretty lengthy.
You have to buy a subscription to the New York Times.
But let me finish. Very real accomplishments of our president Jason Wright, who ESPN alleges was placed at the Commanders by the league and has no power to make real changes. So they're basically saying he's an affirmative action hire.
Wow.
I know you know this to be false. Unfortunately, ESPN ignored our efforts to correct the many falsehoods in their article before its publication. Yeah. So he goes on to say, there's one allegation in the ESPN article that I feel is important to address immediately. The article cited unnamed sources who said they've been told that Snyder instructed his law firm to hire private investigators to look into other owners, end quote. And Commissioner Goodell, that is patently false and intended to erode the trust and goodwill between owners that I take quite seriously. I have never hired any private investigator to look into any owner or the commissioner. I have never instructed or authorized my lawyers to hire any private investigators on my behalf for any such purpose, and I never would.
So, but didn't he have, like, you know, his own people conducting the investigation when Congress is just like, hey, man, what's up with all the second books, the books off the table, or like...
That alone is sketchy.
Yeah, I mean...
Let me
finish. But, I mean, allegedly, I don't know if that's real.
There's a couple more.
They're still all, like, pending, I guess, charges, I don't know. Legend.
So he goes on to say, while we are all, this is, by the way, this is all sent to the owners. While we are all fierce competitors on the field, we are part of this organization because we love football, our fans, our teams, and our fans. Having the privilege to own a franchise in America's sport is something I know none of us take for granted. Falsehoods and lies being spread about any of our organization hurts our league, our players, and our fans, and we simply cannot let them go unchallenged. Thank you for taking the time to read this. If you have any questions, Tanya and I are always available to answer them. And we
don't bring your wife into this.
Well, she's the owner now. Oh, yeah. She's banned, yeah, basically for a year or something like that. Forward to discussing these issues at the appropriate time. Sincerely, Dan Snyder. What do you guys think? I think it kind of sounds like he's kind of scared.
Oh yeah, no,
it
absolutely.
Kinda sounds like he's worried.
Yeah, it sounds like his goose is cooked.
First of all, I mean, the biggest red flag to me is when he got caught with two different books. It's like, all right, you're hoarding money from the rest of the owners.
Well, yeah, no, it's no doubt. Like it amazes me that. Like,
they didn't get him kicked out like right
they
away.
Say they're selling out these games. I'm just like, no way.
They are not.
Like, even for you, like, we went to the Eagles game, and, like, it was complete Eagles takeover, but the stadium was still half full. Pretty much half full.
I think it makes sense.
It just doesn't make sense. There's no way.
I know the DMV's populated, but we're not, like, populated like Arlington, Texas.
Yeah, and also, like, there's no way the Commanders are that profitable of an organization.
Yeah.
You see the rundown stadium. The ticket sales aren't very high. You don't see
it. Fans are not making that well, too. Fans travel, but, like, really, like, it's not like it's, like, every fucking seat is filled.
It's just like, you know, as a business owner, this is a failing business. You want to get rid of this. It's not like, you know, you're going to just overnight recoup the energy and, like, regenerate all that revenue. It's like, bro, just sell the team. But this is more so like he's selfish. He just wants, you know, like he mentioned in his article, like, you know, he takes pride in owning an NFL franchise in America. And it's just like, that's something that's keeping him, you know, hey, he's treating this like a hobby.
He got fined $10 million by Goodell, which is nothing, yeah, because.
But that's what I'm saying, like.
But at the same time, yeah, like, dude, I think he's scared because he knows he fucked up, and I think he's basically one step away from excommunication.
Oh yeah, no, I agree.
Because the owners are probably just like, you fucked with the money.
It's just kind of insane because I look at it like, ugh. The NFL's not going at him as hard as everyone else is. You know?
Oh no, because it's real simple for them to be like, yo, you gotta leave. All right, well, this is the NFL.
But we'll see what happens. But I think the wheels are starting to turn now. We have an owner on record saying he don't fuck with Dan Snyder.
Jerry Jones is like downplayed him. He's like, I know he's my boy, but like this is just media.
But Jerry Jones has a stick in this game. You know, if he has Dan Snyder in the division,
who are the Cowboys gonna get beat up on Thanksgiving?
Exactly.
The Lions.
Exactly.
They're good.
Because I can tell you right now, Jeffrey Lurie, Jerry Jones, and I don't know who owns the Giants. I think Mara.
The Mara family.
They're fine with Daniel Snyder.
Oh, they're everybody is, yeah.
They're fine.
What do you got, 2-4?
That's at least three owners.
That's two owners. Three owners are very happy. Jeffrey Lurie got to beat Jerry Jones in his own home.
We'll see what happens. Down the stretch.
Man. Yeah, I think he's going to leave. I think it's time. I just want to know what he has on Roger Goodell, because Roger Goodell hasn't done it any sooner. Clearly.
It's got to be hookers.
It's got to be something.
Massage rooms, you know.
The little folder titled something, I don't know what it's called, on his laptop. Yeah, that's got all the dirt.
Dirt allegedly. On all the NFL owners.
Yeah, probably. That's what it's called. Do not open sensitive information. But any other thing? You wouldn't talk about the Cardinals?
No, I
don't. Not really.
They're not really that.
They're
kind of shit.
Except for J.J. Watt. I tell you, his heart stopped.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I know.
I forgot about that.
That's crazy. He's still playing.
Shout out to him.
But he's Iron Man.
I mean, honestly, he's got on to week seven.
On to week seven, yeah. Sorry we couldn't get to you guys last week. We had some technical difficulties we were working through.
It bunched it all up into this one, though.
Yeah, no, we
week five and six.
We give you guys a pod show every week. We could, you know, we could take a week off here and there.
It wasn't. We weren't intending.
From the grind, Mo.
Yeah, we weren't intending.
Like bro, yo, we were just in Dubai for like 4 whole weeks last year.
Okay,
that was a lot of football we missed.
We ain't miss it.
We didn't miss it. It was just it's we watched crazy. It at different times.
No, yeah, it's crazy it's because crazy the, it we really left bad. The playoff picture was a certain way, and then when we came back, it just it's
Chargers, Chiefs,
it's completely
Eagles,
Eagles,
y'all, y'all motherfuckers came out,
Vikings, came out Saints, 49ers. Oh my God, Cowboys.
But we were 4-6 right before we left to Dubai. We beat the Saints.
Actually, you know what? Yeah. We became a 500 team. No, we didn't.
We didn't become a 500 team until like. Late in the season.
Okay,
like,
we were on the track like Christmas. Becoming.
Michael Agnew, who are you? You were terrible. Terrible. I would cut you today if I was the general manager. I would cut you. Get your head out of your ass. We know this group is not waiting for you. You're drafted as a high pick. Get your going. Do you understand? It's not good enough. Do you understand me?
We had a big game. We had a big game. We had a big game over the weekend, man, on a Saturday. Knoxville, Tennessee is the location. And I'm calling out my man's Coach Saban, man. Coach Saban, this is your very first time getting called out, bro. I think so. I think your very first time getting called out on the show, man. It's insane to me, you know. Pretty simple, man. 6 catches, 207 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Damn.
And you're the DB's coach, man.
Randy Moss Jr.
You're a head coach and a DB's coach. Hey, piss down your legs, bro. Piss down your legs.
I mean, what do you want Saban to do? Like, cover the receiver himself?
I want him to put his players in better position.
I want him to get...
Put his players in better position. And put bench that motherfucker.
Give me the keys to your Mercedes.
I watched Coach 30. There was one nigga. I knew. I remember, I know who Charles was. Charles was number 2. Or maybe Davis. I know one of them was... Charles or Davis. One of them was number 2. So why was that nigga still on the field? You know who wouldn't do that? Jackson State head coach Deion Sanders. He'd pull that motherfucker.
Prime.
Yep. But yeah, nah. Nick Saban. Sorry, brother.
Dude, Jackson State winning every game by like 70 points is crazy.
Well, they're playing. They play bad competition, so.
They just put their foot on the gas.
And they're starting to get 5-star recruits because of Coach Sanders.
Damn. I am going to call out Brandon Staley. Very bad game you played.
You hate Brandon Staley.
I do hate Brandon Staley. Like, I like coaches that go for it, but he's a coach that goes for it in the wrong way.
He doesn't even look confident in his decisions. That's the other problem I have with him. He doesn't look confident in his decisions to go for 2.
So
he's like, he always looks like he's thinking about, oh boy, if this backfires, I'm fucked.
I mean, also credit to the Denver Broncos defense, 3 PIs, but the guy did have a really big stop on fourth and two. You're forever haunted by that fucking number. But you let Dustin Hopkins win the game. Really bad. Really bad showing for your offense.
Fuck Dustin Hopkins, too.
Hey, look. So, I'm going to call out DeMarcus Lawrence of the Dallas Cowboys. Giving the Eagles bulletin board material. they haven't played Dallas yet. I mean, we did play Dallas, and that ended up in a dub. I don't know. Like, you know, the Dallas Cowboys defense is exposed. They are human. I mean, they're good at times, but DeMarcus Lawrence particularly, I mean, nowhere to be found in the game.
Their best player is Micah Parsons.
Yeah, their best player is on a rookie contract salary, and you are stealing millions from the team. I just give credit where credit is due. No one on the Eagles said one bad word to the media about the Cowboys. They said there's a good team, you know,
tell
to stay
them, fuck
focused.
Them, though.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah,
fuck
exactly.
And bro, Brandon Graham. He's such a hater. Like, remember when Wentz got paid? He's like, he tried to tweet, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And then Lane Johnson, like, tweet back. You know, like, you still got to go through him.
Brandon Graham had a big play on that, too. No one's talking about him. Hey, man.
Hey, how about if you get a little taste of Landon Dickerson coming right down your throat?
I should call out Chris Collinsworth,
pause.
Too.
Pause to you, Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah.
I know you was waiting to use that line.
He was just waiting to call out the Alabama boy.
Yes, sir. But, hey, I guess I should do it.
Week 7 we go. Bye week.
Good weekend, everyone.
Eagles already got a W.
Yo, shout out to anyone who's an Eagles fan. Eagles Nation, we out here.
We're 7-0 now. We're basically 21-0.